Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we will conclude the story of Noah as it is stated in Quran chapter 11. And in our last program, I shared with you about some problems Noah faced when he was gathering all those who will be on his ship. And we also asked the question, who are those who went with Noah on his ship? So without further ado, let us cover these issues. In the question, who was on the ship? So far, Noah and his people, whom the Quran declared to us to be the lowliest, according to the infidels who did not believe in Noah, as it states in Quran chapter 11 and verse 40. So far, we learned that the water rose, and then Allah asked Noah to take two of every pair, which obviously we know to be incorrect number because the Bible is very clear. Noah took two of each kind of bird and animal, and that is obviously the unclean ones. And from the clean, he took seven pairs. Once again, let me remind you, according to the Quran, the water came down from heaven, that is the rain. And when the water started rising up, that's when Allah told Noah what creatures and how many he should take with him on his ship, which is 100% wrong, because according to the Bible, the rain did not come down until Noah's family and all the animals and the birds were inside the ship. Now let's continue to investigate what Ibn Abbas, that is the first cousin of Muhammad, states about who enters the ark first and who enters second. For Ibn Abbas said, the first to enter the ship were the birds, and the last who entered was the donkey. I do not know where Ibn Abbas came up with this information, because obviously the Quran did not mention anything about that, and in the Bible we do not know who came into the ark first and who was the last. But as you continue to hear what I call the fabrication of Muslim scholars, you will figure out that these people do not have any knowledge about Noah. For example, Ibn Kathir said, Satan entered the ark hanging on the tail of the donkey. Imagine with me, Satan needs somebody to help him to enter the ark. Satan was so heavy, which causes the donkey to stumble and fall. And Noah kept asking the donkey, come on in, get in, even if there's Satan hanging on you. And Noah was able to help the donkey and Satan to enter the ark. Imagine with me how ridiculous those so-called Muslim scholars in their writings. Why is it? Because does really Satan need to enter the ark hanging on Noah's donkey? Does he really need to be in the ark? Is Satan like a human who would drown if he stayed outside the ark? My friends, Satan could not drown in Noah's flood, but obviously that is not what Muhammad or so-called his scholars believe so. Ibn Kathir continued to say that when Noah carried with him on the ship two pairs of each animal, his companions, which until now we do not know who they were, said, how can we and all the animals not be troubled when the lion is with us? Oh, they were afraid of the lion. That is one of the problems which Noah faced as he gathered all the animals and his companions into the ark. But Allah quickly fixed the problem. How? Because Allah made the lion sick with fever. And it was the first fever on earth. Nobody ever was sick before. Obviously, because the lion was sick, the companion of Noah felt comfortable and the rest of the animals felt comfortable to be with the lions. That is the two male lions and the two female lions. But let's continue with the fabrication of the great Muslim scholar Ibn Kathir and Ibn Abbas, who stated when his companions, these are Noah's people, complained about the rat. They said that it would contaminate the food and the supplies. Now, this is another problem. But don't worry, Allah fixed the problem. How? Listen carefully what Ibn Kathir stated. For he said, then Allah caused the lion to sneeze. For when the lion sneezed, a cat came out of him and the rat hid from the cat. Wow, you see, there's no problem. Allahu Akbar, Allah is bigger. Allah can fix all the problems which Noah faced in his mission. Now let us ask another question. How many people enter the ark? According to Muslim scholars, it was said that they disagree about the number of people who were with Noah on the ship. Ibn Abbas said there were 80 persons with their wives, but Ka'b al-Ahbar said there were 72 people. Others said there were 10. Still, others said that there was Noah and his three sons and four wives with the wife of his son, Yam. And I have no idea where Muslim scholars come up with the name Yam. Amazingly, this final opinion, which has the closest number according to the Bible, was rejected by Muslim scholars. Why? Because they said, since the verse of the Quran says that there was a group of people that was not his family who believed in him. Muslim scholars continued to say, as for the wife of Noah, the mother of his five sons, Ham, Shem, Japheth, Eber, and Yam, whom the people of the book called Canaan. Oh, imagine, Ibn Kathir is actually correcting the false information we have in the Bible. His name is not Canaan, but his name is Yam. So in simple words, Muslim scholars fabricated a big family for Noah and his wife by claiming that she had five sons, when in reality we know from the Bible she only has three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Anyway, that wife of Noah, she died before the flood because of infidelity. Some say that perhaps she became an infidel after that. Now, if you want to know for real why Muslims do not like black people and why Muslims believe that black people were made by Allah just to be slaves, let us read the following interpretation of Ibn Kathir to the fabricated story of Noah. It was said also that Ham had sexual relationship with his wife on the ship. Noah cursed him and called on Allah to cause his child to be disfigured. Because of that, Ham's wife had a black child who was named Canaan, son of Ham, the grandfather of the Sudanese people. Here we go again, another fabrication. Why? Because from the Bible we know that Canaan lived in the land of Israel, not in Sudan. So now we know where the people of Sudan came from or why they were all black. It's because it is the curse of Allah on Noah's son who had the grandson by the name Canaan. When in reality, when we read the Bible, we know that Ham was Noah's son. And we know obviously he is the father of all the people of Africa through many of his sons. And he's also the father of the Canaanite through his son Canaan. As for Shem, he is obviously the father of Abraham, from which the Jews, the Ishmaelites, and the Arabs came from. As for Japheth, he was the father of all the people of Europe. So three sons of Noah brought the whole world to existence. As for the number of 80, 70, 60, whatever numbers Muslim scholars come up with, all this is simply false information, for there's only 8 people who were saved from the flood. You see, if you continue to listen to the fabrication given by so-called Muslim scholars, you can't help but to laugh. Why? Because they disagree about almost everything. Why? Because the Quran does not give us any information about who was on the ship with Noah. And because of that, they fabricated answers. And since they disagree about these answers, somehow Muslims believe one of the answers is accurate, and that makes the Bible to them wrong.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
I'm sorry to say, these Muslims are not scholars. They're simply fabricators who are making something out of nothing, because you cannot, my friend, interpret the Quran when you don't have verses to interpret. All what we know from the Quran, that the companion of Noah, and all we know from the Quran, that they were not the smart ones. They were the scum of the society. That's why the rest of the people did not believe in Noah. And as we discovered in our last broadcast, they asked Noah to remove these people, the lowliest, from the ship so they can come in. And he refused to do that because he was afraid, as we read, who will help him against Allah if he throws these people out of his ship? Obviously, a simple reading to the Bible will lead us to believe that the only people who believed were Noah's 3 sons. Not 5 sons, but 3. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And each one of them has his own wife. And Noah's wife was on the ship. In Quran chapter 11, beginning from verse 42, we read, and it sailed on with them and made waves like mountains. The ship sailed on waves like mountains? I wonder why the Bible did not mention that, and Allah and the Quran did not tell us. Where did Noah sail to? Then we read, and Noah called to his son. Notice the order. The ship was moving on, and Noah's son was still outside the ship. And here is the father with his tender heart calling on his son. Listen to what Noah said to his son. As we continue, and he was a part. Oh, my son, embark with us and do not be with the infidels. Can you imagine how great Muhammad's imagination was? Noah was in the ship, somehow, I don't know, maybe sticking his head out of the window or maybe on the deck somewhere down there. And he's calling his son, please, son, come be with us. Do not be with the infidels. From reading that verse, I know for sure that is the only son Noah has. Because he did not say Noah called on one of his sons, or Noah called on his son by his name, but he's calling on his son, period. That means it is the only son Noah had. And he was outside the ship, and the father, that is Mr. Noah, is begging him, please come and be with us. Do not stay with the infidels. Listen to the answer of his son in verse 43. He said, I will take refuge to a mountain that will secure me from the waters. What a great imagination. I mean, you have to be really, really naive or say stupid to believe in the story of the Quran. Why didn't Noah's son believe in his father? Because no one had seen rain before. He thought maybe his father is a liar. His father made up the story about the water will come from heaven. But imagine with me, now he sees the water coming down and the water was rising up and the ship is sailing with his father and those who believed in him. Don't you think it would make sense if he would say, Dad, please open the door, help me out, I need to come in. No. All the story so far is nonsense. Especially when the father is begging his son, please come be with us. And he said, no, I'm going to the top of the mountain and I will be secure up there. Let's continue with the story of the Quran. He said, that is Noah, no one will be secure today from the command of Allah, except him on whom he will have mercy. Is that what we read in the accurate information in the book of Genesis? Of course not. Then we read in the Quran, and the waves passed between them. That is between Noah and his son. His son is outside, Noah is in the ship, and the waves passed between them. So he was among the drowned. Somebody help me. Somebody help the Muslim friends to tell them, you got the whole story wrong. The story of Noah in the Quran is a comedy. The Quran cannot be the word of God. Because not only the story is missing so much information, but the information which Muhammad is sharing with us in the Quran is nonsensical. It is foolishness. In verse 44 we read, and it was said, O earth, swallow up your water, and O heaven, desist. And the water abated, and the command was fulfilled, and the ship sat on the Judi. What is Judi? That is a mountain in Mesopotamia, near Mosul. I mean, literally, almost all the information we read in the Quran is inaccurate. Because according to the Bible, in Genesis chapter 8, we know that the mount was Ararat, which is in Turkey, not some mount in Iraq. Then we read in the Quran, and it was said away with the unjust people. Who said that? I do not know. The Quran does not tell us. It could be one of the following opinions. It was said by Noah. It was said by some of the people of Noah who was with him on the ark. It was said by Allah. It was said by Jibreel. And whatever answer you like, just pick up which answer and that will be the right answer for you. Verse 45, and Noah called on his Lord. So he said, my Lord, surely my son is of my family. I mean, literally, you know he drowned. Why is Noah asking Allah about him? And surely, your promise is true, and you are the wisest of the judges. Listen to what Allah said to Noah in verse 46. O Noah, surely he is not of your family. Surely he did what is not good. Why wasn't the one who drowned Noah's son? According to Quran chapter 66 and verse 10, it was because he was the son of adultery. Mrs. Noah cheated on Mr. Noah and she got pregnant by some other guy. That's why Allah causes her to drown, and that's why her son, who's not actually Noah's son, also drowned. Then in verse 48, it was said, O Noah, go down with peace from us and blessing on you and on the nations who are with you. The nations we will give them enjoyment. Then we will afflict them with a painful torment. I do not understand. Why would Allah put these words in the Quran? If he saved some people with Noah, why would he give them some enjoyment for a while and then torment them? What kind of God is that? Verse 49 ended the story by Allah telling Muhammad, this is some of the news of the unseen. We reveal it to you. You did not know it, neither your people before this. So be patient. Surely the end is to the fearer. I'm sorry to say, The information Allah gave to Muhammad here is wrong information. Muhammad does not know anything about Noah, nor the Muslim know anything about Noah. And the answer is very simple. Do you want to know Noah's account? Do you want to know what happened exactly in the life of Noah from the beginning till the end? Do you want to have answer for all the questions which we have always put in our broadcast about almost every story where Muslim scholars do not have an answer? It's very simple. Just read Genesis account. For there you will know everything you need to know about Noah. And you do not have to go to some Jewish or Christian theologian who will tell you scholars disagree as he give you different opinions about all your questions. But simply reading the Genesis account will give you all the information accurately, logically, without reading any other people interpretation. Trust me. Just go to Genesis account, beginning from chapter 5, where you learn about the problem of sin spreading on the earth. And you will learn about who was Noah from the genealogy of Adam until Noah. And you can read the rest of the story all the way until you get to Genesis chapter 10, where you learn about Noah's grandchildren and great-grandchildren who came after the flood. You will read few verses in the Bible and you come up with full answer for all your questions which you may ever think about to know about Noah and his biblical account. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.